Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This is the Lensless Podcast, and this is show number 3. In tonight's show, we're going to be discussing filters, a little bit about last week's photographic adventures, an email from a listener, and a few feeds that Mark and I like.
Hello, pinhole people. Welcome to the 3rd episode of the Lensless Project. Hello, Corey.
How's it going? How's everybody doing?
All right. For our 3rd episode, we plan to talk about filters with pinhole. And even mentioning that, we got a couple comments from people on Instagram, like Mark Snaps, who has an Ondu pinhole, and he lives somewhere very sunny and would like to use filters to slow down his exposures. And we also had a comment from photomom1234 on Instagram, who would also like to use filters, but she doesn't know how to attach it to her Ondu pinhole, which doesn't have any sort of filter threads or any mounting. Corey, do you have any experience with mounting filters to on traditional kind of cameras?
Oh, you mean like the
Or even the you use the Reality So Subtle, which doesn't have any the original 6x6 doesn't have any sort of threading or anything for filters. I know you do a lot of stuff with long exposures and using filters. How do you approach that?
Well, before he came out with the model with the filter ring, I would literally put it over the hole with a rubber band and just use it and move it out of the way whenever I want it or not. Before that.
No, go ahead, please.
Do what? Before that, I would use a zero image before I got my Reality So Subtle, the first 6x6. And I would literally take about the stamp size piece of colored gel and put it inside the light box.
It's a great idea.
And that was it, you know? Yeah, that's what I would do. And I tried it a couple of different ways. I tried that way. And then the other way I tried to take I think it was a tube of chapstick and traced a circle out on a piece of acetate, a yellow gel, and just cut around it and tried to get it into the hole on the outside so the shutter would open and close.
That's very creative,
But it kind of popped in or out, so it didn't really. It was kind of fiddly, so I was just like, I'm just going to tape it inside, because if I was outside shooting and I know that I needed it, I probably would be out there shooting a roll anyways, you know. So I would just let it go. But that's what I would do, and that would work for the Ondus also. I'm pretty sure the pinhole in the front, the pinhole holder is about the size of a chapstick, something like that.
Yeah.
So just take and trace it, cut it out, and try that and see if you like it.
That's a great idea. I've read with Zero Image, he's actually recommended taking a filter adapter for like a 37 to maybe like a 52, and then you like hot glue it or use a real hard epoxy and push the filter ring in there to be fixed, and then you screw in the whatever sort of filter you want to use beforehand. Now that you're going to be committed to that probably for the whole roll, because you can't reverse it or open the film back while you're shooting. But it's one approach.
The only thing that I read about doing something like that also, but the only thing I with 6x would be giant. Because a 49mm filter is probably just as close to being the size of the 6x6. Yes. You know, the film plane, the film itself. So I was worried about it, you know, having reflex or anything. That's why I just kind of was like, oh, I'm not gonna do that, and I just did the little gel.
Oh, that's great. Solution. Do you recommend any sort of gels or anything like that for people to try?
Well, let's see. I use I only use two. I use a yellow okay. and red, which they're just gels. They call them gels, but they're like acetate sheets. The ones I got were actually they use in theaters to put in the big lights to change yeah. the colors on stage. You know what I mean? Those big long tube lights. They slide the piece of acetate in and out, whatever color they need. That's what I use, and I just would just take it and cut it to about the size of a stamp, put it inside. And actually, when I was shooting with the Reality So Subtle 6x17, I put the yellow gel in there, and I shot that camera the whole. I've never shot it without having the yellow filter in it. So I don't know. Yeah. It works out really good.
And I think this would be a great time to talk about types of filters, because you're talking about red and yellow. So that kind of gets you started with your black and white filters, your color correction.
Right. Yeah.
So
sure. The color with color, you're using the color gels or filters for color correction. But with black and white, you're pretty much just controlling contrast and cutting out colors and changing yeah. colors. The neutral density filters for black and white, you're not messing with it. But if you really want to learn about how color filters react or affect your black and white photography, go online and look up complementary colors.
Yeah.
Because all the colors are recorded as tones, you know, with panchromatic film. It's some tone of a gray. So red and yellow, blue, green, all these color filters will cut out light that will either make your trees pop out more because it's cutting out the green, or make your clouds stand out more because you're cutting out the blue from the sky and it goes black, and then that makes your white clouds, you know, just like pop really lots of contrast, you know, like that's what you would get with a red filter. So
and then of course these add stops to your exposure. So using a red might be 3 extra stops, a yellow might be 1.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then and then the other two filters that I like to use are neutral density filters. One is a 1.2 neutral density filter, and that's 4 stops of light. And I also have a number 3 neutral density filter, and that does 10 stops of light. So I don't break that thing out unless it's like really, really, really bright, because you'll go from a 5 or 10 second exposure with that filter, you'll be 8 minutes in the middle of the day. So,
yeah. And we should also point out that Corey lives near the ocean where lots of light mm-hmm. is available. So using something like 4 stops or 3 stops can, you know, or 10 stops can really help you.
It does. I mean, like I have to do something because just like Mark, his email, no, he didn't send his email. He was on Instagram. He says that he's in Texas.
Right.
So I'm sure he's probably in the same boat I am right now, because if after 9 o'clock in the morning and not until probably 4 or 5 in the afternoon, if you don't get in the photography that you want to do before those two times, you're going to be going out in the middle of the day and just super bright, harsh sunlight, you know? So
yes,
you have to come up with some kind of plan to do it. And I found that the 4-stop neutral density filter is about the best one. That one gets me pretty good. I'm thinking about getting a 2-stop filter. I think that one would be really good too. But the 10-stop filter is really long. I mean, it'll take you in the middle of the day. It'll take you into minutes and minutes. So,
right.
And then if you add on top of that reciprocity, you know what I mean? Like you're doing you have a base exposure of 7 minutes with that filter, and then you add reciprocity to that, you could be 15 or 20 minutes. Who knows? You know,
that's true. So, but if that's what you want,
sure. Absolutely.
Right. I had my first experience with filters in living in Hawaii, which is another beach, you know, bright sun situation. And
sure.
Even with 25 ISO film, I was looking for something more. And that's kind of how I got into filters, you know, starting with just a yellow filter that I had around. It slowed it down just a little bit more to help me out.
Right.
So that's great. And then, you know, there is your basic yellow, orange, red, but you can have fun and experiment, like Corey was mentioning, with colors and changing. You can use there's greens and blues and other filters out there to try.
Sure.
ND, and Corey actually inspired me to try infrared photography. Mm-hmm. Pinhole, and I went out and bought myself an R72 infrared filter and tried that. And it, of course, you do. That's an occasion where you do want to be out at 12 o'clock, with, you know, the brightest sun you experience, and to fully utilize that film. But
brighter the better. I know here I'm in the southeastern part of the state of north of the country. You know, in North Carolina, and you know, too, I mean, if you during the summertime, high noon, in June or July, you can't even go outside.
Yeah.
So it works out good for that. I mean, it really does. I have to admit that it does. It's really long exposures with the pinhole.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it traditionally, it's not too bad. You know, you're only in a couple of seconds in bright light. But I mean, I would be, even with my back to the sun, I would still have exposures that are minutes.
Yes.
Minutes long with the infrared using that R72. Because I use that R72 filter also. That's the same filter that I use. Yep.
Right. Yeah. There's just so much fun. You can experiment. The ND is great for slowing things down. One caveat I would mention is that with pinholes, you really want to make sure that your filter is clean of dust. Because with that depth of field, it can appear very large very quickly on your image.
Yeah, it can. I was just about to say, if you have the filter in front of the pinhole, which on the outside of the camera, then I think, you know, you're going to get lots of super sharp little dots. If you have it on the inside of the camera, I think it's more along the lines of just like out of focus blobs. So I haven't had that. I've read about a lot of people online saying that, but I honestly I haven't really had that problem. I've just made a point of, before I load my film on my camera, take a little dust brush or a can of air, spray it out really good, you know, then put your film in. Don't do it out in the wind unless you just absolutely have to. You know what I mean? If you have your filter inside your camera, you know. But just a little, just a couple steps of precautions and doing a few things like that kind of helps it. And I, like I said, I haven't dealt with that. I guess I've just gotten lucky. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is, but I haven't really had any problems with it. So your results may vary on that one.
Absolutely. I've just tried to be like Corey and just be clean to begin with. And
yeah,
really encounter that problem, but I see it so often. I think my first issue with the filter is I had a homemade pinhole, and around the lens area I had a lot of writing, and for some reason that reflection came back onto the filter, bounced around, and you could see the words right on the
right. Really?
Yeah, it was this crazy mix up of shapes and letters, and I couldn't figure out where it was until I looked at the front of the camera.
Gotcha. And then you're like, oh, well, here it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I remedied that shortly after.
Right. So I what I would say to anybody that's in a bright situation who doesn't want to try and who wants to use filters, but they don't know if it's going to work for them, whatever it may be, like Mark was saying, I would say try a slower film. Find a film that does suffer from reciprocity, has a high reciprocity, and use those. Maybe that'll help you out. Pick the time of day that you're going out. I mean, obviously we all have schedules and we have lives. So if you have to go when you can go, and that's your only time to go, you know, but if you can, try and do it earlier or maybe a little bit later, you know. So if none of those work out, then I would suggest getting a yellow, a red, and a few neutral density filters, and you can get the, And you can get them really cheap. You don't have to go, you know, to B&H and buy them brand spanking new super expensive filters. You can go on eBay and buy a set of filters for $10, you know what I mean, and have all the filters you need in there.
My base filters came from just going to camera shops or, you know, the little bargain bins, and I would find whatever, you know, even the digital shops. Sometimes in the digital shops, you can go in there and they'll have a bargain bin of ND filters. It's a great place to get started. Circular polarizers even start off one or a half stop or one stop to get you started.
Yeah, I think they're about a stop. I think they do a stop.
Yeah,
totally. And so what I wanted to say was I have a humongous amount of these colored acetates that I was talking about cutting out and just putting in the holes. So any listeners that want to try using these colored filters but don't want to go and purchase the filters just yet, send me a direct message on the Instagram page, the Lensless Podcast on our Instagram page, and send me a message and give me your address, and I'll send you some. I'll cut some squares of these colored acetates out for you, and I'll send them to you so you can kind of start, you know, giving it a try and see if you like it. Like Mark was saying, if you have a zero image or an undo, and you put it inside, you'll be stuck using it for that role. But if it's a yellow filter, it won't be too bad. It's just going to give you a little bit of contrast. So it's not too terribly bad. The red would be a little bit different situation. But you can cut it and put it on the front of the camera, like I was talking about, in the little pinhole socket there. And I'll do one. I'll do an example, and I'll take a picture and I'll put that up on the Instagram page also. The neutral density filters, you're going to be on your own because those are kind of expensive. So you can kind of – I think that there's a hack you can do actually where you take a film leader from your exposed film and you can do that. That would get you by in a pinch just to see if you like it. I'm not sure about you know, how many stops it'll stop. You'll have to just kind of put it in your camera.
I think
take
a little
a chance
will help you out too.
Yeah.
Out what that is, but that might be something that would be so thin you could put it a couple pieces of tape on either side and put it right underneath that undo flipper to get yourself started.
Yeah, sure, totally. I mean, you can. That's what I would recommend for that if you didn't want to go and get the neutral density filters. But I will send you some red, yellow, and green reggae. Party in an envelope, ready to go, right to your doorstep. Just let me know if you want some, and I'll cut some up and send it to you.
And a big thanks for Mark Snaps and Photomom 1234 for, you know, bringing up the kind of some questions on the topic. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and also I want to. You can go online and find lots of examples of what a yellow filter does, what a red filter does. But none of those are, I couldn't find any that were actually done in pinhole. So what I did actually was yesterday, I went out and I shot a roll of film and I shot it with no filter. I shot it with my yellow filter, shot it with my red, with my four stop neutral density filter, and then with my 10 stop neutral density filter. And I'm going to put all those results on the podcast Instagram page. So you can see firsthand what everything's going to do, so you'll know what you'll be kind of getting into. And I shot that on black and white film, of course, so that'll be up on the Instagram page. So don't go scouring around wasting time on the internet. Just come straight to our Instagram page and look at it for yourself.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, Mark. I do it because I care.
All right.
So
we'll be right back.
Yeah. Yep. So Mark, what did you get into last week shooting wise? Did you get out and get to do any photography or finish anything up?
Well, I did a little bit around the neighborhood. I had a Zero Image 2000 loaded with some Acros, just kind of goofing around. It's been really rainy and wet, so I did a lot of indoor photography. And after I finished that up, I'm kind of a color and black and white carrying guy, so I loaded up the I have a converted Agfa Klack, and I loaded that up with some Ektar that shoots 6x9. And then for black and white, I took forgive me if I'm butchering this, the Schlaboratory Oscar 6x6 pinhole,
Cool.
and loaded with that. I'm gonna have a little fun with some Delta 100 from Ilford.
I haven't shot
So,
that.
yeah,
I haven't shot that yet.
I really like the contrast on it. I think it's a little sharper than Acros, but it's not as forgiving with the reciprocity.
I
So
heard
it's
that doesn't it seems like doesn't Delta have a reputation for being like muddy?
muddy.
N maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking about the wrong film. But
No,
just a
I
little kind of flat muted, not like maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I'm thinking about the wrong thing. I'm probably thinking about the wrong thing.
No, it's fine. I've seen some films that some people can shoot fantastic, and I'll just butcher it. So
Right, sure.
whenever I think that I don't like a film, I'll turn around and be contradicted by going out and looking on the internet. But
Right.
yeah, so that's what I'm shooting in. And if the weather's supposed to be a little bit better this weekend, and if I get a chance, I'm going to head up into the mountains, see if I can't shoot
Oh.
something.
Oh, I'm jealous. I want to go to the mountain so bad.
Well, I want to go to the beach too. So,
Well,
what?
you're closer to the mountains than I'm, so.
Yeah, I think I'm fortunate. I'm about 2.5 hours from the big mountain, so that's
Yeah,
not so bad.
it's
How
a
about
six.
yourself? What are you shooting?
Let's see. Saturday, I went out, and my family and my wife and the kids went to the movies. I didn't really want to go to the movies. I'm not a big movie theater fan, so I went out and went around, did some, finished off a roll of what did I shoot? HP5 in my Reality So Subtle, and then I had my Reality So Subtle 6x6 F with me, and I used filters and I shot Acros, and that I went to that war museum, the Vietnam Wall and
Oh yeah.
the Beirut Memorial, and they had a fountain there and all those the names on the wall, and I was like looking at it. There were some people there taking pictures. It was kind of weird because everybody was kind of standing back. I don't know, it just felt like they were so. I could in my mind, I could see what their pictures were going to look like. You know what I mean? And it felt like so like disconnected from it. You know, and that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk right up to the wall because I know I can get as close as I possibly can get to the wall, and it's going to be a focus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I tried to get as. I was literally 2 inches away from the names, on the very end of the glass wall that came around where you could cut, like walk in and out of, you
So
know.
you were working at depth of field.
I totally was, man. And it worked out for the words to be there because I was like, I just want them to kind of be like floating there so that you could see them against a tree and everything.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard. I didn't know how it was going to work because they're like white etched, etched into the glass.
Yeah.
But that came out. That was like my favorite picture of all the stuff that I shot. I shot a roll of Ektar there too. So I won't know what that looks like until I send it off and do whatever. But the black and whites came out pretty cool. So I hope that works out. But I really liked that picture. I thought it was cool. It came out exactly how I kind of like pictured it in my mind. And then like on the bottom of the frame, like the little flags that were along the front of the wall, they were moving in the wind, you know, so they're like all like kind of a couple of them stayed still, but a couple of them were moving, so they're kind of like you can see the movement in them,
Yeah.
and it was just pretty cool. It was a very humbling place. I mean, it's if you've never seen the Vietnam Memorial Wall, the Vietnam Wall, I mean, it's crazy to see it. I mean, just look at the names, are just like it's just like you know endless almost.
Yeah.
So if you're in an area where you have something like that, you should go see it. And witness it and take a second to check it out because it's worthwhile. You know, take pictures while you're there.
Definitely.
And
on a lighter note, I'm kind of glad that you tried a little Ektar, you know, mix it up a little bit. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, to see something different. I have some expired slide film in the freezer that I'm going to use. And I'm thinking about getting a C41 developing kit and just cross processing it and not even sending it off, just doing it myself.
Well, that could be fun.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I don't know if I want to get into another development, because, you know, like, I mean, I'm developing black and white now, and I was just doing 6x6, and I kind of had that pretty much nailed down, but now I've started doing all these other different sizes, and now I have the 5x7, the Ondu 5x7 that I've been shooting.
How is that?
It's fun. But it's a system that I have to completely start over with, because I'm not set up for it. So I just have to try it, and what doesn't work, take it out, you know, because I went and shot it today, actually. And I had the bright idea to take my 5x7 trays and put them inside my changing bag, and develop them, you know, with my hands inside the changing bag. So my fingers were literally like in chemistry for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I had a little digital timer that I just started, and I had my phone beside it, and I knew that I had to develop it for, I think it was 10 minutes. I had two shots. I did one shot that I shot at, it was Ilford HP4 plus, and it's one ISO 125. So I shot it at that. Mm-hmm. And then I shot the other one. I pulled it and I shot it at 64 ISO, just to see what the difference was, you know. Mm-hmm. And I developed the first one, and it was such a messy, messy, messy mess that I was just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to do the other one tomorrow, or I'll just do it later in the night out in the garage, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a mess. I got it everywhere inside my bag. I turned my bag inside out. But the good thing about that was, when I turned my changing bag inside out to let it dry out, I realized that from cutting my leaders off of my, or not cutting the leaders, but just cutting the film off of the paper of 120.
Yeah.
That I really make sure I don't have my scissors near the edge of the bag.
Yeah.
But I found two little V-shaped cuts in my changing bag.
Ooh.
Yeah, that I didn't even know was there, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the outside bag is like a rubber material.
A little tougher.
So it's still like tight. It didn't puncture that. It didn't mess with that, because I've been using this changing bag for years, five or six years. I've had this bag. So it's not affecting my film. But I noticed that. So I ordered another one, but yeah. So here's a tip. Don't put 5x7 developing trays in your changing bag and try to develop your 5x7 film. You can do it, but it is messy and you will get frustrated. And it was like sweaty changing bag arms. Ooh. Times 1,000. 20 minutes it took me to do it.
It's so possible, but not.
Yeah, totally. So my solution for that was, I went ahead and ordered a step up Patterson developing tank, because I have the system four, I think it's two or four, where it'll hold 235 millimeters or 120.
Yes.
So I went ahead and went online. As soon as I finished with it and I washed my hands, I was like, this isn't going to work. I have to do something else. And so I measured the height of the five, you know, the height of the film and the tank. And I said, okay, I think that the system three tank will work. So I went ahead and ordered one of those, and I'm just going to do the taco method and just put them inside there and develop it that way, because the change bag is not going to work. It ain't going to work.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to update us if the taco method's more efficient.
Yeah, I will. I totally will. I'll document it and take some pictures as I'm messing around with it and see how it goes. And hey, we got an email. Did I tell you about that?
Oh, please do.
We got an email from Toby. Excuse me. Toby is on Instagram at TobyVPhoto. He's on Twitter at TobyVPhoto also. But he says, I've enjoyed Hi Pinhole Cannon and Three-Eyed Monster. I have enjoyed your first couple of podcasts. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Toby. We're trying. I heard you asking about paper negatives on the last show. My experience with using multigrade paper has been that my negs have been a bit flat and lacking in contrast. That's I do too. When I made my 16 by 20 camera, I used the Ilford multigrade 4, just a basic RC paper. And I was kind of bummed out about it. But I talked about that last week. So anyways, he says, I recently bought a pack of Ilfospeed grade 3 in the hope I will get some blacker blacks and wider whites. It is rated at ISO 5, which means my exposures are being timed in hours. The most recent exposures I've made have been finding a reasonable length of time. This is a negative and positive of a 7-pound weight I have knocking around at my home. I digitized it with my phone camera, so I need to get scanning to produce a reasonable file. All the best, Toby V. Photo. So I've talked to Toby, and he actually made a ceramic camera, a ceramic cool. pinhole camera.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Definitely.
He shows pictures, and I think it's I think it does 4x4 or 5x5. So I don't know what that is in centimeters. I'm sorry. But he made it. His wife, I think he said his wife does ceramics. So he made a camera, a pinhole camera.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to go over to Toby's feed and check that out.
Yeah. Go check it out. He's a great photographer. So he's, that's what he's doing his pictures with. And he sent me a couple of images of the pictures he's talking about. I'm going to put those up on the Instagram page too. And I'm going to do what he's recommending. I think I am going to get some different contrast graded paper. He says he uses a grade 3. So I think I'm going to pick some of that up and see if it works. Cause I have a whole box of 16 by 20. I used one piece out of it. So I can still use it for regular prints. It's the same as the smaller paper, just in a bigger piece. You know what I mean? So yeah. I can still use it, but I think I'm going to give that a try and see if that works out. Have you ever used paper negatives before, Mark?
No, I've not.
Oh, that's right. You need to start developing at home, right?
Yeah.
You need to. We need to have a workshop or something.
Definitely.
But so thanks for the email, Toby. We appreciate that.
We
like that people actually listen. There are people actually listening to us. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah, we did interaction.
Yeah. And we'll be right back.
Yeah. All right. We're back.
We are back.
Yes. We're pinhole people, and when we're out there, you know, looking at our own or posting our own pictures, we're also out there looking at other pinhole people. And we want to do a new segment where we want to kind of shine a light on some pinhole people that we like. And we'll start out with just a couple people each week, and maybe you can get a chance. Maybe you follow them already on Instagram, Flickr, Twitter, any of the other posting sites. Perhaps you already follow them, but we just kind of want to bring them out there and for people to see. Yeah. You have anyone you really like, Corey, you want to talk about?
Sure. I have on Instagram. I'm not on Flickr. I'm pretty much just Instagram for me. I try to do a little bit of Twitter, but I get too lost in all the conversations and stuff. So I rely on Mark to fill me in on all that stuff. But on Instagram, I do have a few that I like. One of them is Lance Roth. He's on Instagram at Lance Roth, and he is out in Montana, and he shoots Andu pinholes. I'm not sure if he's, I don't think he does 4x5, but he does 6x6. What's the 6x6? He has three. He does 6x6.
I know. What's he does 6x12.
6x12, but that's the multi-format one, and I think he does 6x17.
Oh, okay.
Something,
yeah, the
like
Andurama.
That. Yeah. Anyways, he does. He just has, he's just outside at the right time of day, and he does a lot of color, and he does a great job. I really enjoy any of his pictures that I ever see pop up, because his exposures are always really nice, and just he just takes really good pictures. I've been talking to him a little bit actually, because he's building a 16x20 camera too, for shooting paper negatives. So we've kind of talked back and forth a little bit about, you know, about that and how am I building mine and how are you building yours, and, you know, type of deal back and forth. So go check him out. Lance Roth on Instagram, at Lance Roth, if you get a second. And you'll really like his pictures. He has beautiful pictures.
No, definitely. Landscapes are incredible.
Yeah, they are.
Those Western landscapes.
It's just insane. His colors. And I think he does most of these with this color that he shoots with is Ektar. That's pretty much what he uses is Ektar. He's not even using slide. You know, color print.
Mm-hmm.
Go check him out. Lance, at Lance Roth on Instagram. The other person that I like a lot is Dan R. Smith 74. He put a picture up the other day of the chain with the boat.
Oh, the Andurama. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's an amazing picture. I mean, that was like, I was just like, I mean, talk about textbook filling the frame with your subject and just, you know, pulling your eye through the frame and, you know, straight to the boat with the pebbles all around it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really nice picture.
He's really talented with the pre-visualization. I mean, mm-hmm. how many of his images just right on with the, you know, his composition, his where he leads you in the photo.
Sure. Plus, he has a really crazy looking tripod, and he's got me wanting a new tripod, so I ordered a tripod today.
I was already trying to convince the missus that that's what I wanted for my birthday.
I didn't get the one he got because that one is like, whoa, man. It's like really like, it looks like like a performance arts piece or something. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's kind crazy. Of I think
bended
I,
neck, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would probably not be able to operate that tripod. Dan, you've got like tripod skills, man. I'm giving you all the credit in the world because the one I ordered, the tripod I have now won't go all the way flat to the ground because the tube in the middle slides up and down, you know what I mean? But it's probably, I don't know, 13 or 14 inches tall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can never get any closer than about my camera, any lower than about 14 inches off the ground, 14 or 15 inches off the ground. So the tripod that I ordered now spreads out, and I think it said you can get it like 4 inches off the ground.
Wow, good.
But I don't know how that's going to work though, because the legs really spread out. So I was kind of looking. Yeah, I was looking at it. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know if that's going to work, but I was like, I think I could just bring them in, like, still bring it close to the ground, but they don't. It doesn't have to have quite a spread, you know. I could just keep the legs all retracted. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to try. But yeah, Dan, check Dan out on Instagram at DanRSmith74. I'm not sure if he's on Twitter. He's on Flickr though. So Mark, you follow him on Flickr, right?
Yes. That's where I see a lot of his photos first. I'm still a little Flickr heavy.
Right.
But yeah, he does great work there. Even, I mean, this is Pinhole Podcast, but his stills, you know, his regular snaps are incredible too.
Yep. And so, you know what else?
What's that?
We both shoot the same 35 millimeter camera too. Damn. He has the Olympus Infinity stylus, which in the UK, which that's where he's at actually. He's in the UK. It's the MU1 or the MJU1 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The one. And he posted a picture today, and I was like, oh man, I finally like, it's taken me so long to shoot two rolls of 35 millimeter that are the same, so I developed them.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got a roll done. It's taken me like months to do this. I'd never buy 36 exposure film. I don't know what it is about 36 exposure, man. I can't dig it, man. I don't get along with it at all. It's just so agonizingly painful for me to do it. Yeah. Gotcha, but you follow him on Flickr. right?
I do. I do. I do like his work. And there's a couple other guys I want to, or I shouldn't say guys, the other people that I want to bring to light. And one, and I don't even dare try to pronounce his regular name because I'm probably sure I butcher it. And I'm going to kind of spell his Flickr username. I want to say it's Foide, Foide. This person's up in Scandinavia, I think Finland. And he takes these amazing pinholes with homemade cameras. And he also uses a lot of reality, so subtle. 6x12, I think he uses the, maybe even the 6x17. But he does a lot of work with the 6x6. And
right.
Black and white, he's a self-developer. I think he's kind of really rural. It takes these amazing pictures. And
cool.
He really knows how to use that the depth of field on the reality so subtle just to fill it. And, you know, he's really tricked me with images where I thought this, he had took a picture of a catapult in front of a shed. And I would have thought the thing was life size, but it was only like 3 inches tall. And it's the perspective he used, it fooled my eye.
Awesome.
And then another one I'd like to bring up is a very talented pinholer from Hawaii. Username is three words. It's Art, A-R-T, and then the next word is the letter Y, and then Photos, F-O-T-O-S. So it's kind of like Art Photos Spanish. He does pinhole work, but all his cameras are handmade. You guys might have seen this one little plastic pinhole I put up the other day with pictures of filters on it, red filter. He made that for me. He does pokes, does his own pin, takes plastic cameras, takes pieces of wood, whatever, makes 6x6s, 6x18. He converts the Polaroid cameras with the peel apart film. He's got some
cool
pinholes with that. So he's constantly, you know, trying different things. He mostly shoots color, but like, yeah, I'm going to trip up and forget that person.
Why wouldn't you shoot color in Hawaii? I would be shooting color too.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, he shoots mostly ektar and does great work with it.
Cool. I have to follow him. I haven't seen him before. I'm going to have to go check him out.
Yeah. He's a Flickr only person though. I don't. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I won't. Okay, well, I think that's going to wrap us up for this show. So, once again, if you are interested in getting some red, yellow, and green filter material for your pinholes, and you want to give it a try and see if you like it, or you can get, you know, some different look to your pictures that you were thinking about trying to get to, send me your address. Direct message me your address. On the Lensless Podcast Instagram page, or you can do it on, send it to my at Pinhole Cannon if you'd like, you can, or you can send it to the Lensless Podcast at yahoo.com. That's our email account, and I'll get it there either way. But yeah, I have a lot of it, so don't be bashful about it. If you'd like some, let me know, because I have humongous rolls of this stuff, so I'll be more than happy to send it out.
And please don't be bashful either. If you would like to be a guest or have show ideas or questions, please contact us.
Yes, definitely.
We'll try to approach any questions or topics you want on the show as best we can.
And even better, if you feel comfortable doing it, we want you to come on and talk to us in person, because me and Mark talk to each other a lot, but we like having somebody else to talk to. It's nice to have a different voice on the
show. You want to talk about your struggles at pinhole, or, you know, something that you're really passionate about with pinhole, you know, we'd like to listen, maybe.
Sure, absolutely.
So Corey already kind of gave you all his contact. If you do still want to see any of my work or interact with me, I'm on Twitter at Three Eyed Monster, also on Instagram, Three Eyed Monster, and lastly on Flickr at Three Eyed Monster.
Cool. I'm on Twitter, but I can't really suggest trying to get to me there. I like Flickr, but I mean Twitter, but I don't know. I just get so lost in the conversations. I don't know how you keep track of all that, Mark. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I guess a little bit of a multitasker. Not great, but
right. Okay, everybody. So once again, this is the Lenses Podcast, and we appreciate you guys listening. And we hope that everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.